Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea, or in this case, not so humble, a big idea, into a big Hollywood movie. I'm Freddie Wong, your host. This is a very bad
My name is Will Campos.
Bum, 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 bum.
I have the screenwriting stone.
Hey guys, I'm the script lord. I just came from my own universe, and I'm here to help out. You may not know me, but I am writer-director, and my name is Matt Script Lord Arnold.
Script Lord, you're my favorite side Marvel character.
Thanks. Guys, this sounds like a really good idea for a podcast, only it's not. It's a bad idea. Did I do the quipping right?
That's not the right way of quipping.
Star-Lord does from the Guardians of the Universe.
Guardians of the Universe. This week, we are tackling the behemoth in the box office, the king of the
king of the castle.
King of the castle. Marvelous Marvels Infinity War 2.
And the excitement is palpable.
Let me be clear. Also, just to clear, to do this bullshit. Yeah, spoilers. We're going to be talking about Infinity War. If you haven't seen Infinity War, sorry. Spoilers.
I promise no spoilers for Infinity War in this detailed discussion of the plot of Infinity War 2. No spoilers whatsoever. If you haven't seen the movie yet, you are safe. Spider-Man dies.
It's too late. We gave you a courtesy week. I mean, come on. You got to stay. That's the problem with pop culture these days.
We'll put it in the title. It'll say in spoiler war.
Spoiler war 2.
That's the title, is Infinity War 2, no spoilers.
So, Will, you saw it.
I saw it.
I saw it by myself. And Matt. Matt has, quote, I guess.
Well, Freddie didn't invite me yesterday, so I just read the Wikipedia right now.
Matt's up to speed. We'll put it that way.
I've started the clock.
It's go Let's time. Get going into Previously it. On Infinity War.
So how does Infinity War...
Should we... Okay, I do want to do one thing, mm-hmm. just because I'm always the guy that does this. Should we attempt to explain what Marvel is to someone who hasn't heard of Marvel? You know Marvel. They're the superhero movies. They just had their big crossover.
Well, yeah, here.
Just to cover our bases, Marvel is a shared universe of superhero movies. Infinity War is their big crossover event that they've all been building up to. Matt, go.
Yeah, so if you don't know what Marvel is, you've probably heard of Spider-Man. I think Superman and Batman is in it, and then there's Thor and Captain Avenger and all these other people. But there's all these big movies that have come out the last
without
10
looking
years.
Name five characters in these movies.
What? There's Star-Lord, there's Iron Man, there's Black Widow. I've watched Marvel movies, Freddie. It was called a joke, it was a bit. But there's all those different Marvel movies, and then yes, Infinity War is their big crossover. And for those that don't know, throughout the Marvel movies, there's been these like MacGuffins called the Infinity Stones, and there's the big bad Thanos, which is a Thanos?
Thermos.
There's big bad guy Thermos, and he wants to destroy half the universe due to overpopulation, and these Infinity Stones all do different things, but when you put them all together on this big gauntlet, he can destroy half the
universe. They destroy half the universe. It's kind of weird.
So
on their own, they do great things. When they all come together, you kill half the universe. It's kind of weird.
They actually give him the power to destroy half the universe. They don't on their own destroy half
the
universe.
Okay, they give him the power. They give him the power to do like anything, right? And he's going to use it to
Half the universe because he's a jerk.
Which we'll get to as
big
we go.
Old jerk.
But then, so Infinity War is essentially all your favorite gals and pals from all the Marvel movies. All the Marvels assemble, and Thermos is going to all the different Marvel movies, and he's grabbing all the different stones, and then they try to stop him, but they don't, because Star-Lord punches a guy out of anger, and then he wins.
And his glove is really stuck on there.
His glove is way stuck on. There.
And then at the end of the movie, he snaps his finger, and half of your favorite Marvels and whoever else is in the universe, we don't care about anybody else other than the Marvels, they all die. And then at the very end, you see Nick Fury and the girl
Robin from How I Met Your Mother
also die. But they ask... They let you know that a new Marvel movie is coming out.
There's like, just in case you're ready to stop spending money, don't worry, new Marvel movie on route.
How good would it have been, by the way, in that scene where Nick Fury vanishes, it pans down to his phone, and it's just a Variety article about the release date of the new Captain. It's just Brie Larson cast as Captain Marvel.
Oh, he's desperately scanning, looking. He Googles Nick Fury 2019. He's like, am I in any of these movies? He's like, oh, guys, don't worry. Spider-Man's not dead. Oh, there's definitely going to be a new Black Panther. I'm not seeing Nick Fury in here. Uh-oh. I sure hope I don't disintegrate.
So at the end of it, who's remaining, Matt?
Okay, according to
What's our status quo at the end of everything?
Okay, who's remaining is Banner, M'Baku, okay, Rhodes, Rocket.
Those are all the Black Panther characters.
Okay,
man.
Rhodes, Rocket, but
please,
not but not Black
be careful.
But not Black Panther himself.
I'm begging you to be careful.
But not Black Panther himself.
No, Black Panther is not alive.
Our boy Chad's scattered to
and
the
Warmonger
winds.
Died in Black Panther, so there goes my favorites. And then Rhodes, Rocket, Rogers,
a lot of,
Romanoff,
a lot of R sounds, I gotta
Thor.
Say.
So, like, all the cool ones die. So, T'Challa, Groot, Barnes, Maximoff, Wilson, Mantis, Drax, Quill, Strange, and Parker are all dead.
Yeah.
And Stark and Nebula remain. Okay. So, yeah, you got half of them.
Yeah, half are left, right?
Yeah, correct.
So, I think the big question is ultimately, like, everybody knows they're not all dead because they're doing new movies.
Because Spider-Man Homecoming 2 coming to theaters next year.
Yeah. Unless they do prequels and then they freak everybody out. So, like,
that
no,
would be
actually
such
dead.
A baller move.
So, yeah, I guess the big question that we have to start with is, like, what's next?
What's next? Okay.
And okay, explain to me, because the Wikipedia doesn't get me like the emotional core that is Thermos, but like what but like at the end, what is Thermos feeling when he destroys half the universe?
So he says
Thermos is very sad because Thermos, to get the Soul Stone,
yeah,
which was the last stone, or well, not one of them, it's a, they think that whatever. To get one of the stones, he has to kill his own daughter. Because
yeah.
To get the stone, you have to sacrifice
you have
something.
To have
you
the
love.
Stone.
Gamora from
to sacrifice.
So he pushes Gamora off a cliff and then she dies, and then that's so he's sad about that at the end. Like he has, and so this is the most I looked this up ahead of time to see if maybe we could surmise a little bit of what the screenwriters were cooking up. Not that I want to steal grip too much from there.
Can I ask one thing really quick? He has two daughters, right?
Yeah.
One's like a robot?
Yeah, one's a robo
okay,
daughter.
But he has two daughters. And
yes.
His plan was to destroy half the universe.
So
wasn't there a good chance that one of his daughters was, just statistically, one of his daughters was going to die anyways? Like,
that's a good point.
Was it like was it
that's
really
a very good
was
point.
It really bummerific that he had to kill one?
Well, but I think he probably
doesn't like
does he choose who he kills?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
he you know I think no. it, I mean it, when he originally pitches it, because he's like, I came up with this wacky idea back when my planet was overpopulated and I wanted to kill half the species and I was going to do it at random so it would
yeah.
be fair, right? So I'm assuming that's still the idea okay. here, but then you got to feel like he probably would have like let Gamora live,
yeah.
like you know
people would have quickly started looking around and being like, there's a lot of blonde women still alive. I think Thermos has the time. I don't think it's as random as you say it is.
A lot of Thermos's extended family is still alive.
Okay.
Okay.
No, but in all seriousness, this is a huge movie, and it's cool. Like it is for.
It's cool that we're getting the chance to do this.
Yeah.
That Marvel put so much faith in
and
us.
Look, I'm being snarky,
us
but like
podcast boys,
I collected the first generation of the first like year of DVDs when it was all Captain America. Like I'm not as big of a Marvel fan as I used to be, but like it's as a geek, like it's incredible what they've done. And
Matt has been
event.
A big Matt has been a big Thermos fan for a really
yeah.
long time.
But I mean, I think Matt, you even said this was that like if in 100 years they may look back at this era of filmmaking in the same way we look back at like black and white and be like, that was Charlie Chaplin and this guy Buster Keaton, I guess. They may look back at this era of filmmaking and just be like, they did 30 movies about comic books.
This was all they did a zillion movies that all built up to Grimace from Ronald McDonald.
But basically, right, like in the same way we look at the 50s, we're like musicals, that was when that was, and it's like this era may just very well be
the superhero
comic
era.
Book superhero movie.
So look,
fascinating as that is, it doesn't help us bust his plot.
Well, no, now here's my point we're getting at here, which is like, one, I think the first thing we have to address is like, what are the rules of death? Because I think clearly there's two ways people have died in this movie. One is they get killed on screen, right? Like an actual stab.
Oh, like
punched.
Loki got choked
Loki
out.
Loki gets choked out pretty hard. Gamora gets pushed off of a cliff. That's one. So
I want to intervene here.
Yeah,
I want to jump in. Because yes, you have a couple people that are like, oh, they're mercs. Or like Loki got iced. Like
yes.
Vision got, like they literally show you Vision's horrifically mangled corpse like 10 times. And you're like, he's dead.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
he's very dead.
They even like, in case you didn't catch it the first time, Thermos is like, hold
he
on. Let me rewind
that
for y'all. Yeah, instant replay of his explosion. Yeah, exactly.
So I was reading about like what they got going on. So there's this little scene at the end where after Thanos snaps his fingers, he wakes up in this weird zone.
Yes, that
and
is a
little
very,
baby Gamora is there.
That's a really, I think, a really important key scene. For
yeah.
Where
so
we're
then
going.
They go like, "Are
is this
you
a bit or baby
no, no,
Gamora
this
is there?"
No, I'm serious.
He's like, he's like, the moment he snaps, it cuts, it fades to white, and it's like it's not clear. Is he teleported somewhere? Is this in his head or whatever? But they're in a weird liminal space,
basically. And then he has this little hallucination or whatever, and he sees baby Gamora, and she's like, "Did you do it?" And he's like, "I did it. What'd you cost?" And what did it cost? And he says, "Everything." Right. And then he wakes up again on this alien planet, back on his home planet or whatever. So I was reading about that because that's like the big scene. Everyone's like, "Ooh, is this?
Yeah, what does this mean?"
It's in the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
So it's like this liminal space in the Soul Stone, and Gamora's like still alive. And they were like, "Yes, Gamora is alive in the Soul Stone," is what they said. Mm. I don't know why she's a little kid again. I don't know, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But I think the idea is that like all those people, when he snapped and they disappeared,
they're all
in this liminal space, like in purgatory in the Soul Stone. So it seems to me that what you're gonna do in the end to this one is someone is going to discover all those motherfuckers are still alive. Like, they're in this liminal space.
Yeah.
We got to go free them, right?
Because
it's a little weird to have your main character's goal to be to bring someone back from the dead. Like, I don't think you can just do, it would feel like, I think the worst way to approach this would be Infinity War was all about Thermos getting all of the... I'm sticking to it.
It's so good.
Thermos, like, you know, the whole movie is just Thermos picking up all the stones and then putting them in the gauntlet and snapping his fingers, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be really boring if the next movie was just like, all right, well, now we've got to get all the stones and undo what he did.
No, but what
happens
if the Soul Stone breaks into a ton of pieces? And then they got to find all the pieces of the Soul Stone and then put the Soul Stone back together.
Well, so here's another detail.
That's what they did in this movie.
Well, but here's
and
a detail.
Made a lot of money.
Well, here's the detail, though, is that after he snaps, you get a quick shot of the gauntlet. The gauntlet's all desiccated and shit. Like, it's
so
all
the gauntlet's gone.
Well, it's unclear if it still works or what have you.
I think
the gauntlet's busted. It's busted up is what they're implying. But I think what you're getting at from a dramatic standpoint is, I think, absolutely correct, which is you are really in a spot of like the bad guy got everything he wanted and is like just chilling in his pad now. So from a dramatic standpoint, it's like, what is, you know, because it essentially is the original Avengers are still there.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like for them, it's like, well, what the hell are they supposed to do?
It doesn't seem like he's going to do it again. Right?
No. I mean, he's like, I mean, it's weird because I was like, everyone talks about it being like Empire Strikes Back. But it's like Empire Strikes Back ends with a dramatic cliffhanger in the sense that like one of your, the Empire Strikes Back would be different if Han Solo just died. Like, that would just be a bummer.
If Han Solo died and the Empire just beat the Rebellion.
Yeah, it was like if Han Solo died and they kill... If Han Solo and Luke died. But it's like, they were like, no, you do the... Again, what's so smart about that Empire cliffhanger is it gives you two turns that in a narrative level make you go, how is Luke going to be able to kill his own father?
Yep.
And then it makes you go, how are they going to rescue Han Solo?
Yep.
Where, like, Han Solo's been frozen and given a job with the Hutt. So, like, two things are up in the air. Whereas with this, Thanos is like... is like, I'm out the game. Like, all I want to do, literally in the movie, he's like, all I want to do is snap my fingers, kill half the population, and then I'm going to go watch the sunrise back home, right?
Yeah.
And then you see him do that. So it's like, he doesn't have anything else going on, which is an interesting spot to be in. By interesting, I mean troublesome.
Well, tough as hell.
Because on a meta level, it seems like following Twitter, the only thing people care about, at least as far as I can tell, is how are my favorite characters going to come back to life?
Yes, the cliffhanger is the meta cliffhanger of how are the Russo brothers going to get themselves out of this jam?
How are they gonna
make a good movie? Is the suspense that you're essentially going in with?
In terms of, maybe start with character motivations, right? Because I think at the very least, you know that Star-Lord's probably on a revenge kick. You know what I mean? Like he is very motivated to go after.
If I'm going to take Star-Lord, you're going to say that Star-Lord, this roguish bounty hunter or whatever,
he fucks it up, right?
Yeah,
and so, he fucks it up.
But Gamora, like in their relationship,
he's dead. What am I talking about?
Shit, he is dead. Shit.
Fuck, the one guy that's motivated for revenge is out the game.
Here's a zag for you.
But he's in the Soul Stone, though, bro.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
He's like, I'm going to come out of your glove and beat your ass.
Here's what you fucking do. Because, yes, nobody thinks that any of those people are dead, right?
Yeah.
Fucking open on Star-Lord.
In the Soul Stone.
In the Soul Stone.
Oh, you know what's crazy?
Where the fuck are we? Oh, we're in the Soul. We got to get out of here. The Soul Stone's going to get destroyed.
There's some weird
we're all
going
to die for real.
And then Gamora's a baby. And he's like, well, yo, you're
some
a baby,
weird
but
shit there.
You still look pretty good.
Yeah, no,
me.
That's
I'm
weird.
Sorry.
Okay, back up for
wait,
a second.
Holy shit. Is the beginning Muppet Babies?
They're all little babies. They're all kids.
Can we please, guys, can we please make the movie start with all, because that way
they're all kids.
They're
we've
babies.
Seen them as kids.
It is weird that she's a little kid.
Exactly.
Soul
so
Stone.
That's weird.
So a little
either.
Kid, not a baby.
It's yeah, a not kid. A literal baby.
It's not a Muppet.
It's like, it's her. It's
babies.
Marvel babies.
Like, that's your beginning also. Like, just straight up. And everybody in the theater is like, okay, well, I've already given
well,
them.
I already gave them,
I've already
money.
Given them about $600 worth of tickets. I'm going to go
that,
with them.
The way that
no,
starts
just
is
just because they've been playing it so coy with what the title of the new one is. It's because it's Infinity War Marvel babies.
You come in, by the way, every single one, it's like every theater receives an instruction. The manager comes up and it's like, okay, so thanks everybody for sitting
you will
down.
Not be getting your
no
money back.
Refunds on this one.
Infinity
I'm
War, Marvel babies, no refunds.
as you guys can tell from the movie, so please enjoy. Concessions are out in the lobby.
That's the name
you.
Of the movie. It's Marvel, no refunds. Like, oh shit, they mean those people are actually dead.
Infinity
dude,
War,
ballsy.
No refunds.
It's
halfway
like whoa.
Through
the movie, halfway through the movie, you're like, oh, it's because they're not going to give us refunds for this Marvel babies movie. Okay, ignoring Marvel babies, the idea that the people in the Soul Stone are like in their own.
Trapped dimension, pocket dimension thing. I mean, that's the problem with this is like, does Gamora exist there? Because
oh, is she?
That kills Peter's whole thing.
Right? Also, I think, okay, it's just also like, Gamora didn't get vaporized. Gamora got fucking choked out.
Yeah.
And fucking, she got thrown
probably
off of a cliff.
Blunt force trauma, yeah.
Although, here's what I was like, Gamora's not dead. Because it's like, how many people in comic books die because they fell off of something tall?
I was about to say, how tall? I was about to say, how tall is this cliff? That's okay.
pretty tall.
Well, here's the thing: is like okay,
P tall.
Yeah, let's forget who's wearing what for a second.
Yeah, like,
what,
I'm just saying. Like,
if I'm trying to look through everyone at the end of the movie, right,
yeah,
where
yeah.
they all wound up. So you have okay, Iron Man like had a thing going on with Peter Parker, then
he's
he watches
guilt,
Peter
he
Parker
Peter
die,
Parker,
and he goes, "Oh,
yep.
gee shucks." You got Star-Lord lost his girlfriend, his space girlfriend,
yep.
and he's mad at Thanos.
Yeah,
and he probably feels guilty about his boneheaded move causing everyone to die.
Right.
Fucking Doctor Strange was like, this is the only way it works. Like,
yeah.
that was the other little cryptic hint they do, is that Doctor Strange has seen all 14 million versions of how this can shake out, and he tells Tony Stark this was the only play, and then he disappears.
Yeah.
So does he die, Strange?
So Doctor Strange dies. And the last thing he tells Tony was that giving up the Time Stone was the only move. So Tony knows that Doctor Strange thought that the only way to win was by giving him the Time Stone. So I could see Tony Stark being upset. Again, if you're going to... Guilt-ridden Tony Stark is driven mad,
yeah.
right? And he's like, because this last... cryptic hint from and then you do Pepper dies.
Yeah,
you do Pepper
yeah, yeah.
is one of the people that disappears because
yeah,
he's
yeah.
like he's lost his moorings.
Also,
right?
Gwen Paltrow very expensive.
Very expensive. Okay, all right. And then you got Thor's like, I got a big hammer now. I got my axe, and then he uses.
But
the
he's
axe gr-
and he's kind of grieving his whole.
Yeah,
thing.
It was like Thor gets his groove back, but okay. So my okay.
Well, so I think one of the things that I read that I think makes sense for the Time Stone is you can only rewind back to the point at which you get it. Right.
Okay.
So I think that's an important point. So no way in hell we're not coming back to this exact point in time in this movie when he hands over the Time Stone. Do you see what I'm saying?
So, all right. I like, okay, I could see Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, he's a loose cannon anyway. Like, he gets obsessed, right? Because
yeah,
you do,
yeah.
like, everyone died, right? And, like, you're going to have to me, I'm like, it's, you have this mix of people who are going to have moved on and accepted it, right? And being like, well, we got to fucking deal with the world as it is now. We can't pine after the people that are gone. The world is in chaos because half of the fucking people just died. Like, I'm in the here and now. So let's say that's Captain America,
yeah,
right?
I buy
Captain
that.
America's seen soldiers die.
Yeah.
Like, he's seen loss. He's like, well, this blows, but like we've got to rebuild.
He's trying
yeah.
to get the government working again.
He's trying to help
the UN.
Out. Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah,
doing
yeah.
all the Captain America shit.
And he could really use Tony Stark's help because Tony Stark is this fucking brilliant inventor, right? And this
right.
humanity, you know, it's like, you know, you could be, you know, like help us fucking
we have
rebuild.
To start new.
And then, but Tony Stark is obsessed, right? He can't let it go. And then you would do, he is concocting theories and stuff like that. So let's put a toehold in him there.
What I like about that is that Captain America is like, we got to save the world as it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Stark is like, I want to fix what we fucked up.
Yes.
And Captain America's like, move on, bro.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, and it also speaks to, again, if you look at the last couple movies, it's the core
you know, conflict is between those two characters and their ideologies.
Yes.
Right. So that at least thematically tracks for the next movie, right? Mm-hmm.
So you got the two of them, and then you've got Star-Lord, right? And Star-Lord is a lost soul. It's fine. You know, every single superhero has a beard phase. And I feel like we are coming upon Star-Lord's shaggy beard phase.
Oh, man, because he talks so much about the beard.
No, fuck, he's dead. Never mind. Son of a bitch. Okay. We'll get to Star-Lord. I keep thinking Star-Lord's alive. Star-Lord's not alive. Whatever.
But he pops because he has he's the biggest fuck up, and he has the biggest, strongest character motivation out of everybody right now.
Is there anybody bigger than Thermos?
Oh, okay.
Sounds like a solve on the way, folks.
Tony Stark built some gizmo. He's trying to. He hears something. He sees a vision of someone, one of the people who passed. Do you know what I mean? Again, like you would need, like, he's building some crazy fabtraption that he's like been obsessed. He's gotten obsessed with the Infinity Stones.
Yeah,
his
point is like we don't see where they didn't die. They don't have a body. There's no body, Captain America. Where did they go?
Do they still have the body of Vision?
Yes.
They do. Yes. Oh, so you could do, he's got, okay, yeah.
Stone does Vision have?
He had the yellow one.
The Yellowstone.
He had the Yellowstone National Park.
The Mind Stone. You do the Mind Stone left an echo of itself in Vision's circuitry.
And that's what.
So
and that's
he's
what
been
Stark
reconstructing
is.
Digital reconstruction of the Mind Stone, trying to access its wisdom to try to figure out what happened.
Yes,
right.
Yes, correct.
Because he has to understand. He has to know.
What does the Mind Stone do? Make you smart?
Makes you mad smart. It's 1600 on the SATs. Garen fucking teed.
It's
you bubble in all the right answers.
Tenacious D had the Mind Stone in that song Wonder Boy when he has the power to kill a yak from 500 yards away with mind bullets. That's telekinesis, Kyle.
Okay, the Mind Stone allows the user to enhance their mental...
How about the power to move you?
...and psionic abilities and access thoughts and dreams of other beings.
Oh.
At full potential, when backed by the Power Stone, the Mind Stone can access all minds in existence simultaneously.
Yeah, that's a lot of
that. Mind Gem is also a manifestation of the universal subconscious. Okay.
It's a universal... The Carl Jung
subconscious. I do like the idea that he essentially becomes like Professor X.
Yeah, so
yeah, it's got a little Professor X in it. Yeah.
So I think he uses he's got all of Vision's
because they allude to that. They allude to that in this movie, right? They talk about how it's like, well, you know, Vision is a piece of all of these things, but it's like, yes, but that Mind Stone is imprinted on all his other personalities.
Yeah, if I were
to
just not having seen the movie, but based off of you guys saying that you saw the body multiple times, I would assume most times you don't just show a thing for no reason. So if they're constantly showing close-ups or things of the body, they're trying to make you remember Vision's body still there as a body.
And a lot of peck close-ups. I think it was more just fan service, honestly.
I like that. And
yeah,
because
Tony is obsessed with trying to, and he gets...
Maybe he's using Scarlet Witch as help. It. Or did she disappear?
No, she dies.
Okay, yeah. Scarlet Witch dies.
So her thing was
her power,
power was derived from the Red Stone because they were experimenting with her.
Well, what I was going to say is that she has gone to the other side of wherever they are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But she has this bit of the Redstone power,
reality.
Right? The Reality Stone power.
Yeah.
So maybe she is the person that Tony Stark is hearing or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
How do you one-up the biggest crossover of all time? Mm-hmm. The time travel crossover. Two Iron Mans. Two Spider-Mans. Two Captain Americas.
Holy shit, Tony Stark has to play himself and his shittier self?
Here's what I was going to say. Here's what I was going to say. This is where I was going. Yes, is that you do that. Tony Stark is building the fucking Vision. He's trying to be whatever, right? He's trying to figure out what's going on. He hears the message from the other side, and he realizes that there's a crazy chance to get back, right?
Yeah.
And he needs Captain America's help, right? So he convinces Captain America to help him because he's like, Cap, like, it's like, this is the way to help everybody. This is the way to help the present is to fix what happened in the past. You know, we have this chance to do this. Like, if you want to deal with the world as it is, this is the way to fix it, right? Like, this will. So that's how he gets Captain America on board. And again, their whole beef, they got to quash their beef. He finally calls him on that cell phone or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So the two of them team up, and then, maybe they build a time machine and go back in time.
You know what's tough? Here's the tough thing for me, which is, to me, there's almost no solution to bring back these characters that I just don't hate on a thematic, moral, and dramatic level.
All right, maybe it's not about traveling back in time. It's not traveling back.
No, I'm with you, though.
Here's what I would argue. It's not... They're not, again, if you're going to do, they're not dead.
Yes, I agree.
Not that they are dead. Here's what, yes, because it can't be that they are dead and we're going to bring them back to life.
Yeah.
It is, they are still alive. They're trapped somewhere.
We need to save them.
We need to save them. This is a he's like, this is a rescue mission, soldier.
This isn't about saving, this isn't about fixing my mistakes. I made those mistakes and I own it.
And
this is about saving our friends.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
But, and I think you have to, again, you have to, in order for that to thematically feel okay, is you have to pay a pretty heavy cost for getting those people back, right?
Captain America and Robert Downey Jr.
are going to die.
They die.
They have to.
And the end is the two, it's like the end is going to be, it's like the gayest ending of all time, but it's going to be the two of them together. They die together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like this, like,
it's a very selfless,
it's like a handshake, fucking, it's like, remember in Aliens when Vasquez and the lieutenant, like, who hated each other the whole time, blow themselves up at the end, and she's like, you always were an asshole, and then they just go kaboom, and you're like, oh! Like, it's going to be one of those moments.
No, exactly.
Where,
it's going to be probably not a fast explosion, probably like a slow one, so that you can really milk the performance.
I don't know Marvel
actors
very well, but when they, like, disintegrate at the end, I'm assuming when they disintegrate, they say something like, that was fantastic, and then the next Captain America shows up as a regeneration, right? Is that how? Is it like? Because there's a new. Like,
he goes wibbly wobbly fish custard. Matt's favorite show. Blip, blop, blip, blorp. Maybe you get Thor in there too. Maybe Thor bites it. Maybe it is the Avengers, because it is the OG Avengers. You do the OG Avengers die at the end of this thing. They all
Thor, Captain America, and
Black Widow.
Yeah,
and Hulk.
And
Hulk and the Hulkster. Yeah, and they're all gonna. Yeah, it's then they have the Toy Story moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then there's a statue of them at the end, like they're remembered as Earth's mightiest heroes.
Yeah, and then Samuel,
it says these five made $4.2 billion in the box office.
And then Samuel Jackson's there with How I Met Your Mother, Colby. And she's like, what now, sir? And they turn around the tracking shot. He's like, time to get to work. And then it's like, the more Avengers are firm, pay us more money.
They're like, the new Avengers, the less
popular. But wait, there's a bit of the Soul Stone in that statue of them that has their imprint. Yeah, all right, anyway.
Yes, I like that their original Avengers are going to actually die to save half the universe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not actually dead. They're caught in the Soul Stone.
Yes. Yeah.
There's a point where Thanos is killing Iron Man, and he says to him, I hope they remember you, right?
Mm-hmm. So they're going to be remembered.
No, they shouldn't be, right? Because that's what heroism is. Heroism isn't, I hope I do something and I hope everyone remembers me for my good deeds. It is thanklessly doing it and right? That's the ultimate sacrifice that he needs to get to.
I think maybe you play with it for a second.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
because everyone
for sure
wakes up back on Earth and they don't remember, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then this one fucking old man, Stan Lee, he wakes up and he's like, I remember. And he picks up the phone and he's like, you guys remember the Avengers? And then, like, they build the statue of them.
You know,
or
you're looking, you know that hot comic book sound you're looking for? Listen to this.
No, but it's like, that's because then it's Stan Lee's send off. Is like, he it's like it would be his last cameo or whatever.
Holy
is
shit.
He's the first one that he sees the thing and he remembers Tony Stark. And then you see someone else seeing, you know, a star and they remember Captain America, you know? And then you do the.
That gave me chills, Will. I don't even.
Dude, that's pretty good.
I don't think I've ever felt anything in the Marvel movies and I just got chills.
Yo,
right there.
No, for real. For real. Because it's not even like explicitly, it's just everyone like sees the symbols and they're like, there was something here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're here for a reason. It's just like a little tinge of it.
And then you do twinkly piano Avengers theme.
Twinkly piano Avengers theme.
Damn.
Yeah, and that's, you end on people remembering. That's what.
Yes,
you, yeah,
that
yeah,
is
yeah
the ending.
You don't need the
that
statue.
Is the
you end on everyone remembering them. Yeah.
Just by the
that's
way,
good.
You just made a Doctor Who episode.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
All of them.
Matt just laid back and was like, this will come back to Doctor Who in the end. I knew this would come to me.
So you do, okay, we got an ending. That's fucking banging.
That's a good ending.
So I think you do the, okay, so for act one is the world as it is, right? The earth is in ruins. You know, like, I think we can do like a sort of like mini boss bad guy is taking over the earth.
Yeah,
Hydra is taking over
Hydra's
the earth.
Back.
Is Red Skull dead?
Huh?
No, Red Skull shows up. But yeah, he's back. He's in like another planet and he's cursed and shit.
Yeah,
so don't worry about him.
I would either do, bear with me, I don't know anybody else. I'd either do a Hydra, but it feels like Hydra ends in this thing. It'd be like you'd start setting up whoever's going to be the new Hydra for
the new
Avengers of Black Panther and Doctor Strange and whoever.
Oh, the new bad guy. Oh, I like it being Hydra. Because I was going to say, Hydra's like, they have this secret society. When this disaster happens,
they're
all ready
back
to fucking go.
Yeah, they're like,
I guess maybe we have fought Hydra before.
I mean, we could do it. I mean, for the sake of it, I literally don't know any other Marvel bad
guys. Some villain is taking over the Earth, right?
What if Hydra's like, it's crazy, but statistically, we all survived. It can happen. 50%. It's a coin flip. What are the odds?
Or the Skrull or the Krull or the Krill or whoever those guys are. The Kree Skrulls.
Who are they? What?
They were just like alien bad guys. They're kind of like another. The Kree Skrull War, I believe, is this thing. And the Skrull are like these shit. Because they did a whole thing. It's called Secret Wars. But they did a whole thing where you turned out that some of your favorite Avengers were actually shape-shifting aliens in disguise. And it was like a big shocking twist or whatever. They're like, again, like another type of Hydra type thing. At any rate, what I would
say. Hydra 2.0.
Hydra Dose. Hydra Dose is taking over the world. And because it's this big power vacuum, they swoop in, right? And Captain America's leading the resistance and trying to fight for what's left, right?
Yeah.
And
they see the opportunity to reshape the world.
And it's fun because you get to play with like darkest timeline shit, right? Yeah, like this is like the whole world's been flipped upside down, you know?
Like heads of state are dead, like the country's leaderless. It's just total chaos.
I'm trying to think because I totally like the
Masters of Evil.
Who are the Masters of Evil?
They're like, I don't know, recognizable members. Very few villain teams are successful, but some of them are former Avengers.
I like the idea that it is like a consortium of all of the villains in the previous movies, right?
Yeah.
They all die kind of more or less. Whoever's
sure,
left.
Whatever. Whoever's left. Bunch of bad guys.
At any rate, so you do that. Captain America is leading the sort of guerrilla resistance, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Against, you know, to try to fight for the Earth, and, you know, like in Wakanda. And like, you know, like they're all our favorites are, you know, trying to lead the fight. Tony Stark is off in his recluse, you know, the ruins of Avengers Tower, building this crazy contraption to try to unlock the secrets of Vision's corpse.
Yep.
He discovers this psychic pulse coming from somewhere in the galaxy.
Oh, he's working with Shuri, maybe. He's in Wakanda.
Shuri, cool. Because
remember, there's a bit where she like swipes something. She swipes right when she's working on Vision for a bit. Maybe he's like, I've created a backup or something.
So
whatever.
He's teamed up with Shuri. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, so then the two of them, and so they, but they did, because her brother died.
Yes.
Yeah,
correct.
So the two of them are trying to unlock this thing.
Both of them.
They find this signal coming from the stone, the Soul Stone. And the Soul Stone is on Thanos' homeworld with Thanos because he's got all the jewels in the end.
Because he can't take it off because that glove is so tight on his hand.
Yeah, as we all learned. So you would do that. They know that they can feel the pulse of everyone coming from the Soul Stone on Titan or wherever. So then you would do, they need to fucking go to Titan to save everybody.
Yeah.
So then you do like, that's like your kind of act two, act three is getting the band back together.
Yeah.
Is getting the original Avengers team because they've got to steal a spaceship from Hydra.
And Rocket's going to pilot it.
Yeah.
He knows, right?
I do like Thor and Rocket are just giving up and they're going to go find another planet or something. They're just like, they've given up. Captain America is trying to help the world.
I fucking got it. They need to find Thor. Because Thor's hammer controls the Bifrost.
Yes, correct.
So they're going to use the Bifrost to get to Thanos' homeworld. But first they got to find Thor. Thor is off. You know, Thor and Rocket are off having fun, adventures in space.
It cuts to them and they're getting drunk in some space bar somewhere.
You're like,
my gosh, my favorite two lovable scamps and rogues.
Yeah, I was about to say, they've given up and they're just hanging out. Because, everybody's going to love seeing Rocket and Thor on some bar.
Because they have such witty bants in this movie.
Yeah, and they're like, man, these drinks are cheap. And they're like, yeah, it's
and
been
Rocket's
half
like,
off.
You think, and
it's
Rocket-
been half off ever since half the universe died. And they're like, wink, wink. I'm like, oh.
So, you do. So, again, like, act two is getting the band back together. And they've all got to put their beef behind them, you know? So, and that's... So then you got like you're gonna seal the deal on your Hulk Black Widow romance, right? Yeah.
Also, somehow in this, Captain Marvel's in there because we know that she has to be a part of this, right? Maybe she's like a big part of bringing everyone together.
Oh, is she
people.
In the next one?
Has to be. This one ends with the cliffhanger.
Oh yeah, they're probably
gonna
introduce her in the next movie.
Here, put it this way: she's instrumental in getting everyone back together.
Does she have a spaceship?
Well, so I'm looking at. I'm looking at the Cosmic
That'd be
Cube.
Convenient, right?
I'm looking at the Cosmic Cube and Infinity Gems. Looking at
look up Captain Marvel
Thanos.
Too, because I don't know.
Well, so
Captain
this
Marvel
is so it says that Thanos' spirit eventually reappears to accompany a dying Captain Marvel soul into the realm of death. I'm just wondering if they do bring up. So it sounds like part of it is that if they're dead, they can actually all be in the Soul Stone, but that doesn't mean the Mistress of Death has actually taken them into the world of death.
It's like a waiting
purgatory,
room.
Purgatory.
There's like a highlights for children.
I'm wondering if they are. Do you think they're going to bring death in?
No, I think they would have done. If they were going to do death, they would have done Thanos' backstory where he's in love with death.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you were going to make that his goal this season, is he's going to. The deed is not done until he destroys the Soul Stone. And the only person in the universe who can destroy the Soul Stone is death herself.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Just, or this force called death. And yes, it's death. All right, it's death.
It's death.
Okay, so then that's what Thanos has got to do, because he's that the Soul Stone is the last thing, and then it's done. Because until the Soul Stone's destroyed, all these people could come back, and he's back to where he is. So that's the ticking clock, which I like. Because then you would do, like, they use the, but once they all get together, they use the Bifrost to get to Titan.
Yeah.
And then Thanos' goons are waiting for them, and they have a big fight or whatever, but then you also do, they realize this is what he's up to. Mm-hmm. He's going to try to, or something like
they
that.
They learn what his plans are. They have to at some point.
Right? Or it is like the, when they're reading the signatures of the Soul Stone, like through the vision telescope, basically.
It's vision scope.
They realize it's heading somewhere, and they realize that it is heading towards this, the biggest black hole in at the center of the universe, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, like fucking, you know, it's the only thing that could possibly destroy it. And
sure,
it is,
sure,
you know, it's the lair of death herself.
Sure, sure, sure.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, in terms of your act structure, Act One, they, you know,
Tony and
Shuri are googling space
hard.
Yes. They're constructing they're unlocking the secrets of the Mind Stone.
Right.
Captain America is leading the resistance
against Hydra 2.0.
Against Hydra 2.0, yeah. So the Skrulls, because I think
chaos.
It's going to be the Kree Skrull War in Captain Marvel. So we'll say that's how Captain Marvel gets involved.
Ah, nice.
So he's teaming up with Captain Marvel. Whatever.
Two captains. Talk about jurisdiction problems. Am I right?
Okay. So and then
chain
you,
of command. Am I right?
Yeah. So yeah, you do. It's
couple
it's,
of good.
It's Captain Marvel and Captain America. And the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D., essentially.
And for sure, a couple of good Chain of Command jokes
there,
because it's like everyone loves those power structural Chain of Command jokes. Perfect.
Okay,
that's Act One.
Okay, so yes, and then you do, Tony Stark realizes, holy shit, everyone's in the Soul Stone, we can fucking do this. So then he's got to go quash his beef with Captain America.
Yeah.
And they...
He does it very suave. He's
yeah,
very
you know,
cool.
So like they're like, you're like, this doesn't mean I like you, I'm just doing this to fucking save the planet, god damn it, or whatever. He convinces him, like, this is the way to save everyone, like, this is the way to do it. It's not about being obsessed with grief, it's not grief
Captain
anymore.
America would have that great moment, he would be like, he's like, you don't think I have people I'd wish weren't dead during World War II, you think we couldn't go back?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not about this, and then
Tony Stark's
trying to convince
him,
like, they're
like,
not dead.
Like, yeah, it's like Shuri brought it to Tony Stark, they figure it out, and then it's, this is a rescue op. We're fucking saving people's lives. They're not dead yet. They're about to die, and we've got to go save them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you do, they team up with the rest of the Avengers, except for Thor, to steal a spaceship, because they've got to go find Thor. So they're going to, like, and that's your kind of Earthbound Act One fight scene, is like, you know, you're getting this crew back together, and then they blast off into space. And then you do... They gotta find Thor.
Thor's getting drunk with Rocket.
Well, yeah,
Thor's
like just, I mean, Thor within two movies has lost, I mean, Thor sucks, right? He's lost his whole planet. And
half his planet.
No.
Everyone died on the ship at the end of Thor Ragnarok.
He lost Asgard.
Yeah.
And then he lost the rest of Asgard, which he was in control of.
Really
he had
casts
to do with
the real
ship.
Casts the pall over Thor Ragnarok.
And then
this
he
movie,
lost. And then he lost half the universe. So he's feeling pretty bad about himself.
Yeah.
So he's drinking himself to death. He's like, I was a king and I failed pretty bad.
Yeah.
And they are trying to convince him to step up one last time. Essentially.
Yeah.
Yes. So he is, and maybe he's on the ruins of some. Where is he?
Space bar.
Okay. Also,
it's
would do
a good name for a space bar.
You would do, like, your classic thing is, like, when they blast off, someone on Earth is a spy for Thanos and is like, hey, they're coming for the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
So then, you know, Thanos is sending out his goons to fucking stop them or whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so then Act 2, Act 3, rather, is them teaming up with, they find Thor, they gotta convince Thor to join them, they use the fucking, you know, maybe Thor has pawned the hammer. Do you know what I mean? With, like, the classic thing. He sold it for booze money, you know?
I was getting drunk and I required money for it, so I threw away this hammer, useless hammer.
So
he's unable to kill Thanos.
Thor's gotta get his mojo back.
Yep.
And then in terms of, like, your character arcs, all right, so in terms of your character stuff, you've got the relationship between Captain America and Tony Stark,
right?
Where the two of them not getting along. You've got the relationship between Bruce Banner and Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, right? Because they kind of set up that romantic thing, and they never really did anything with
it. Correct.
So I think you would do, like, and he's also got his thing where, like,
he
can't turn into the Hulk. Like, that was the thing. So he knows he's going to have to Hulk out.
So that's our last bit of this movie, is definitely building up to him being able to get his mojo back.
Yeah, he's going to have to,
They're not going to, if they're not going to let him Hulk out at the end of Infinity War, they're going to let him Hulk out at.
I think what you're going to see in this one is, like, in the Buddha Hulk. Like, I think what you're going to get is that it's like in Ragnarok, like, they did that pretty fucked up thing where, like, he lost the Hulk. He was lost to the Hulk for years, right?
So
he's in this complicated space. He's going to achieve balance, is, I think, his arc in this one.
Ooh,
do you know what
which
I mean?
Is what Thanos is all
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
He's just going to, like, hold Thanos. He's not going to, it's going to be a really exciting action scene. He doesn't beat up Thanos. He just holds him in a headlock for a long time and goes, just chill, bro.
No, I meant that it's like he's like not all smashy. Like the, he and the Hulk are one.
He can talk.
Yes.
Bannon, essentially.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. As he's beating Thanos up, he's like, you taught me one thing, balance, and then he throws him like through a rock, like a big rock.
Sure. So they go to Titan. Oh, no, Titan's probably your low point because Thanos has a trap waiting there for them.
And then Titan, and he's left or something. There's like a trap, and Thermos has gone to finish the deed because he's going to go to the cosmic realm where death is or something.
Yeah. Yes.
Like how, because you need something where it's
it starts to get a little mushy here. But again, I think the end essentially would be it's going to take their combined. It's going
If they're going to go, if they're going to go, because again, I don't know any of this, but if they're going to go to death, mm-hmm. Thermos needs to do something to make this
a movie.
A movie. Yeah. So, like, he's got to go to. And again, you could then set up some of the backstory. It's like Mistress Death doesn't fucking think anything of Thanos. And it's like you snap half your fingers and you expect me to take on half the universe? Like, what are you? Like, my job is to have people die. You're kind of making it tough for me or whatever. Thermos is like, yo, you got to do this. Because if they got to go to death to save everybody, they're going to die. Right, like you do this essentially a suicide mission if you're gonna do it.
Like they learn that halfway through.
What I was gonna say was like you would do it. It takes the combined power of all of them to break open the Soul Stone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and then release everybody back into the Earth. So then, but then when the thing blows up, when the Soul Stone blows up, it's gonna kill all of them.
Yeah, yeah,
or something like that.
They need to destroy. In their studies, they figured out a way of breaking the Soul Stone and releasing everyone. But it releases a bunch of power and it will kill anyone in the vicinity of it. Is like the secret that Stark is harboring, and he's gonna be the one. And then Captain America's like, no, Tony, let's do this together as bros.
As
bros.
Okay,
maybe they won't do Mistress Death.
Thanos needs that goal because they're saying Thanos will return at the end of this one. It's like, it's not going to him return and he's just going to be like in a spa chilling because he accomplished his mission.
I like the idea that it's not done until he destroys the Soul Stone. Yeah. Like that seems like a good sort of.
Well, yeah, then you're going to have your freaking five Avengers standing at the throne of death.
Yes.
Like with like ready to freaking take on death and Thermos.
To fight death.
As the Soul Stone is sitting there in the balance. And if they lose, the death is going to consume the Soul Stone, killing everybody. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
And then you do something where, it'd be like the final moment they think they've won. And then death hold like, it would be the moment where they think they've won. Mm-hmm. And then it's surprise, death. Like, they beat Thermos and they got death going on. Sorry. They beat Thermos and they got death, like, in their grasp. And you think they've won. And then death is like, you don't win. I'm death. Like, tell you what, though, there's like a deal. And it'd be like this. Essentially, they need to die to save the souls, to save everybody, right?
Yes.
I mean, not in that way, because that way sounded very undramatic and boring. But yeah.
Okay.
But
so functionally. All right. So I want to.
10 minutes left, boys.
10 minutes left. Okay. I want to just kind of structure this thing a little bit more. I feel like I understand the beginning a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, and then they're on the road just going to find.
Maybe he doesn't know where death is. Maybe Thermos doesn't know where death is either. Mm-hmm. And you give it a little bit of like the first book of the Gunslinger. It's a little bit of like this, like.
Oh, so Thanos has to find death.
Yes, Thanos is his name Thanos or Thermos?
Thermos.
Thermos is going to find death. Mm-hmm. And so they are tracking Thermos.
Yes.
And by the way, Thermos is just wrecking havoc wherever he goes as he's searching down for death, which is very hard to find. And at first, it would be like, what is he doing? They don't know what he's doing. And then they realize who they're searching for. And right, you could even do the classic thing when they're going to be like, oh my God, if he's going to find death, maybe we find her first. And then, it's the classic Zelda action of them finding death is what allows Thermos to find death. And that's actually their low point. And now they're stuck in the death's realm with Thermos and the Soul Stone.
Is there gonna be a side stuff with what inside the stone? Are we gonna go in there at any point?
Oh yeah, maybe that's the secret to this thing.
Yeah, because I feel like they need you can't just lay back and hope to get rescued. These are the other half of the Avengers.
Actually,
we're talking
I don't
about,
know. I would strip it down. The other one was such a big mashup crossover palooza. Like I would make this one small and personal. Really spend time with those characters, and then spend
time with the characters you're gonna say bye to.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna have 12 more movies with Spider-Man. This is my last Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And here's
you're
the
right.
thing.
Yeah. You're right.
But here's the thing. The moment you go inside the Soul Stone, you're just waiting. It actually ruins the drama because you're just waiting for them to rescue themselves.
That's
like,
true.
You're just like,
you're right.
Okay,
right.
What if you do? Because it needs kind of a twist. It needs a turn. And I was like, maybe you do. Again, it's going to be something for like the kids. They're like, okay, if we find the Soul Stone, it's going to be how you get them back, right? Because there's like stopping. There's stopping Thanos from getting to death, right?
Yeah. Yes.
There's what do you do with the Soul Stone once you have it? And then like, how do you save everybody? Is it maybe, you know, like the, I don't know. I'm just trying to think like, or is it like, you know, like you can't just bring again, like because of like, you can't just bring people back. Like, I don't know. I'm just trying to like, you need
it
something.
It feels like strange. It feels like if you're going to bring one person back who died, it might be strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because Strange seems to know what it's going to be.
Strange could also be the one trying to reach them from the other side. He knew he had to go into the Soul Stone to be able to
and
X,
he
y,
could
and Z.
You do that thing where you know, again, I think you can bring this to kind of like a Wild Bunch ending, and it's like Strange comes and tells them, like, again, it's tough. It's like, it's always a balance. Like, you don't want to just do like a suicide mission, but there's also a world where Strange is like, it's like, I knew this was going to happen. Like, this is, it's like he gets there. He's like, you guys made it. Like, I wasn't sure if you guys were going to make it, but the only possibility was that you're going to find your way to the realm of death, and it's just going to be you six. And they're like, what's going to happen next? And maybe Strange is like, I can't tell you, because then it won't happen.
Yeah. Like, or this is the point to which my vision is murky or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So act one, he calls Captain America, and then act two, they're getting the Avengers together. They have their little fight to get off of Earth. Act three, they go and find Thor. Thor has sold the hammer, so they got to go get the hammer, right? And then that's like, this is like your fun and games thing, right? Like, they got
Rocket's pulling all kinds of crazy,
they got to pull this heist, right? To get the hammer back
from the collector, maybe.
The collector's dead, though.
Nah. By the way, Death was originally in Captain Marvel and is the main bad guy of Captain Marvel.
So no shit.
So this would be a way to.
Oh, absolutely. Then this is where it's going.
Okay, I mean, maybe, cool. So what's Captain Marvel? What's her deal?
I can only read Wikipedia so fast.
Just fucking shotgun it. Like, what seems to be her deal?
Okay, the first Captain Marvel was created by Stan Lee, alien military officer. Captain Marvel of the Kree Imperial Militia, who sent to Earth.
Fucking Kree War, man.
The Kree,
fucking dunked that from half court, my dude.
Yeah, there's like multiple Captain Marvels.
Okay, so there was.
They're captains. They're like military. They're like cool military space person.
Okay.
They don't really. They
okay,
just,
all right, all right, all right. So you would do secretly there's been aliens on Earth. The Kree.
Oh, they find Captain Marvel fucking. Like, while they're searching the galaxy trying to find Death, you'd find Captain Marvel and the Kree. Like, right, if they're going around the universe looking for Death,
no, she's
and
on
Captain
Earth.
Marvel.
Samuel L. Jackson calls her at the end of Avengers.
Oh, they don't have cosmic phones in Marvel?
It's like this weird, like, old
school.
It's like
he has a pager.
It's like a pager. Okay. But here's what I was going to say. If she's basically, like, Earth's secret agent in the Kree-Skrull war or whatever, like, she's your new pilot. She's the one with the spaceship, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because then this is all intergalactic stuff. So, yes, Captain Marvel is the one helping them get to Thor.
So you're
teeing up the Kree and the Skrull, right?
Yeah.
And maybe, what is the deal with Death? Is Death like on the Kree homeworld or something like that?
I don't know.
I like to be in the center of a dying black
No,
ball.
Death
cool
is like
hell.
His embodiment is depicted as a skeleton, usually a Caucasian human female.
Does she have like a fortress somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like she's in her own.
Like, where she kick up her feet, you know what I mean?
She's in the realm of Death, it looks like.
Okay, I like that the realm of Death is inside this black hole.
Yeah.
And then that's a great leap of faith, is they gotta fly into a black hole.
And they get all stretched out and they're like, whoa, this is just like that movie Interstellar.
Murph, I'm in the books. Okay. All right, so they team up with Captain Marvel to get off of Earth, you know, because, yeah, like, you know, they're like, oh, the Kree are like, the, I think it's, how does the Kree-Skrull War work? It's like the Kree, the good guy aliens, the Skrull, the bad guy aliens, or something like that.
How
am I becoming the person you asked for?
Because
you're tapped into the mainland.
I'm trying to listen to you guys while learning all about Marvel. This is very difficult.
So we'll sketch out the details later with the Russo brothers in terms of the Marvel
continuity. They're huge comic nerds anyway.
So I like that they're going to use the Bifrost to get there. And then I like this, that Thor's hammer gets stolen, or that Thor sold it.
The first twist is the...
Oh, that's how they get grouped
back. The first,
back.
The middle battle scene is Thanos. They realize what Thanos is... Sorry. They realize what Thermos is doing, that he's going to find Death, right? And they're like, oh shit, like he actually has a way to finish off the job. And their Bifrost gets destroyed. Mm-hmm. And who comes to save the day? It's Captain Marvel. So you introduce Captain Marvel, and now Captain Marvel and the rest of the team, she's gonna help them. She's like, don't worry, we've been hunting for her. We've been fighting Death out in the stars for the past for Millennium or however it is, and then them and Captain Marvel go towards them.
So they can wind up in a trap and they get saved by Captain Marvel. And so Captain she's already out in the universe.
Yes,
yeah, they're already, like, and they've been trying to figure this thing out too. Okay.
Side note, that's how you get Groot back, because Groot, it grew into the axe handle. So the axe handle, it's like the twig thing. Get that Vin Diesel money.
Oh, okay. This is very good. Because you do like... It's not he pawned it. He got drunk. He's like, I lost it. It walked off somewhere. And they're like, what do you mean it walked off somewhere?
And that's so good.
It's Groot with the fucking axe in his
hand. Oh my God. That's so good.
And maybe it's really like good. Bad guy Groot, like his evil Groot. And so then they've got to fight evil Groot with Thor's axe to get the
axe. Okay, maybe that's even... Okay, this is very stupid. So excuse me, and we can just shut this down right away. But you need that twist. And the twist would be like, of course they're not going to let them get out of the Soul Stone. Death's going to take it. Mm-hmm. So Death is consuming the Soul Stone. But you're telling me that Groot is both in the Soul Stone and in the axe. So you do this like fucking Jack and the Beanstalk shit where like Groot connects to himself and people start climbing up Groot's getting people out of the Soul Stone while they're fighting Thermos.
This is so silly.
And fucking Death.
This is so
and
silly.
Like, no! And then Groot's the connection between the two.
So how is Groot...
Groot grows so big.
You're telling me half the universe is climbing up this. I can see. I can see. It's not that everyone's evacuating. They got to get someone into the Soul Stone.
Oh my God.
So they use Ant-Man's shrinking power to shrink someone down, and then Groot touches the Soul Stone and fuses with himself on the other side, and then they go into the Soul Stone.
Holy shit!
And then so yeah, Ant-Man. Then you got to yeah. So then that's your client.
It's very good. The hammer of Thor, which is Groot, goes into the Soul Stone. It's like a vine, right? Okay. And then they're like, who's going to go in there? That's too small. You're like, small,
just,
you said?
Just
and
you may have been there the whole time.
Ant-Man plus his ant army. So you get a sequence of all these ants and Ant-Man scrolling down this fucking vine into the Soul Stone.
Yeah.
And
just
Death
me,
is
comedy
Death's
man
like,
Paul Rudd.
No! And then because Groot can move, you got the sequence of this hammer and Groot. This hammer with legs attached to the Soul Stone is running around the battlefield trying to avoid Death Death is screaming.
Give me back my stone!
But I do like the idea of Ant-Man and Groot. And then Doctor Strange shows up and they're all going to get them out of the Soul Stone while the five Avengers are
punching it out with
Thermos and Death, and then there's a big sacrifice.
Well, what's great, because then it gives you for the third act, you get that
a heist into the world of Death.
Essentially, yeah.
Especially
if
you're gonna use Ant-Man, who's a heister.
He's a heist man. But you can maybe do like there's a shrunken team, like a team goes in with him, and then yeah, because they've got to blow up the stone from the inside. So you even do like they're in the stone and they're looking around and they see like the sleeping bodies of all of the millions of people, right? Like they see all their friends, like you know, like in sort of like a chrysalis state or whatever.
Banner stays behind. He's like, "Don't worry, I got this." And he finally hulks out.
Yeah,
and Hulk is going nuts with like Doctor Strange or whoever fighting them off while they are all going inside the Soul Stone.
Yeah,
inside the Soul Stone. So of course there's a minions of Death because Death has sent people. They're just starting consuming
perfect.
The souls.
Yes.
They're fighting the minions of Death inside the Soul Stone. You're cross-cutting between this like super cosmic fight in the Soul Stone and this fight with Captain Marvel and Hulk.
It's Hulk and Thor.
Yeah.
Bros to the end. Yes. Do you know what I mean? The two of them, the two most powerful, have to hold off Thanos in this fucking three-way brawl.
Yes.
And then everyone else shrinks down and goes into the fucking Soul Stone.
Yes.
And then the
final moment would be, since you split them up, it would be in order to finish the crossing over between the planes.
They have to smash it with a hammer?
They have to make a connection. Mm-hmm. So you have whoever's left on one side all reach out and grab the other. So you have Iron Man's on one side and Thor's inside the stone. You have Hulk and them, and they all like they reach through the stone through the cosmic plane because they need the plane is separating. Mm-hmm. It's like literally there's like a tear in the fabric of the universes and it's pulling apart. And they literally hold on. They're like, ah! And they're gonna die. And they hold each other. They're looking into each other's eyes and they're holding the two universes together as the souls are transferring.
And it's literally a Predator high five.
It's the bicep curl that saves the universe. Is you just got Chris Hemsworth bulging gun, and then fucking Iron Man's just like sparking metal suit. Just
they're still giving each other a hard time.
Yeah,
Captain America's like, "You look pretty weak there, Iron Man. You don't have a suit on." He's like, "Oh, hold on, Captain. I'll hold on."
They've all formed this human chain through the world of the Soulstone, and because it's like you've got Thor on one. Here's what you've got. This is so good because you've got the fucking hammer planted on the ground, which can't be moved.
And then
you've
got
Hulk grabbing onto the hammer, fucking grabbing onto Thor, grabbing onto Captain America, who's deadlifting both fucking him and I. Yes.
And Death and Thermos are screaming as the final souls are transferring back into the universe.
And as he's doing this, he looks straight at Cameron and goes like, "Remember when I did this with the helicopter? You thought that was pretty sexy, huh?" And he winks and then just cut out wide as he bicep
and
curls.
There's a big poof, and everything goes white. Yeah. And he cuts to Earth and people start waking up and they're like, "What happened?" And then you cut back to the realm of death and the six Avengers are all on the floor dead. And it's Captain Marvel and Doctor Strange.
Or they vaporized.
I don't know if you do. You want that? You want that? I mean, maybe. Yeah, maybe they're just vaporized.
No, they have to vaporize slowly. I was going to say, so
it's all ash, but the hammer.
Yes.
It's the hammer and the shield and Captain America's helmet and Black Widow's revolver.
Yes. Iron Man's helmet and Black Widow's Glock. You pan over their most iconic object.
Because then the dust, the wind goes and the dust blows and you transition up to the sky and all dust goes into the stars and then you cut to Stan Lee and everybody's like, "I wonder who did that."
And he goes, "That gives me an idea for a comic."
Yes!
Okay.
Will, keep that fresh in your head. We're about to head over to Marvel Studios and give them the elevator pitch to the man himself, Stan the Man, Lee.
Stanley.
Stanley. Be right back.
Welcome, everyone, to the live wrestling spectacular in Los Angeles.
So far, the world's most boring wrestling podcast has been destroying the competition.
Isn't there anyone who can save us from this travesty?
Wait, could it be?
It's Tights and Fights, the perfect wrestling podcast.
Tights and Fights is here to save us from the monotony of boring wrestling podcasts with hilarious conversations.
Woke trips through the history of wrestling.
And joke about the finer points of people wearing spandex.
What a match!
And the Tights and Fights podcast will be back every week.
Thursdays on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get podcasts. Please, these hosts have families.
Tights and Fights podcast. Tights and Fights.
All right, so we are driving over to Marvel Studios. Where Stan Lee himself is there. I'm driving Freddie's car. Freddie can unfortunately not be here. But
I'm in the back seat, harnessing every last drop of power from the script stone to help me through what I think might be the hardest pitch of my career. So,
well, you know, no pressure, but the entire future of Rocket Jump depends on us landing this.
And if we do botch it, Jesse Stone will take the podcasting gauntlet and destroy all half the podcast in the universe. So
just half of us. So one and a half of us.
So this one's for Jesse Thorne. Please don't destroy half the podcast
in
the universe.
I'm pulling in. Let me make sure I get the parking ticket. You definitely don't want to pay for parking. Studio parking is very expensive. All right. I'm pulling in.
Wait, Matt, there's a street spot over there.
Oh, never mind. Backing out. Oh shit. Nope. You're not supposed to back out. I just blew my tires. All right, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to call AAA.
All right,
Good luck.
Okay, I'm walking across the lot. There's the big Marvel building. I'm ringing the doorbell now.
Hello.
Stan Lee?
Yes, it's Stan Lee, me.
Well, Excelsior, fellow true believer. My name is Will Campos.
Hey, don't do that. Seriously.
Okay.
I do 100 conventions a year. Don't do that.
Okay, I won't. I'm sorry, Mr. Lee.
What do you got for me, kid?
I've got the sequel to Infinity War.
Are we doing another one?
We're doing another one.
Ah.
And you've got a great little bit at the end of this one. So to me, this is our swan song to the original Avengers. I thought it was really smart that you guys left the original crew all alive at the end of this one. Because it feels like the other movie you do, the first Infinity Wars was this big, fun mashup of all of the Marvel characters. And now I think for the sequel, you want to follow it up with a character-based story, a lean, mean rescue mission that's going to end with Earth's mightiest heroes giving their lives and to save save the rest, to save half the universe and being remembered, and then passing the torch on the next generation of Marvel. So, after the fallout of Avengers Part 1, Earth is in chaos. The Skrull have taken over the Earth in combination with Hydra, and they've used the power vacuum to run rampshot over the Earth. Captain America is fighting for what's here and now. He's seen loss before, so he's ready to face the future and just keep soldiering on like he always does. He's leading this guerrilla resistance. Meanwhile, Tony Stark is just racked with grief, not over the death of Peter Parker, but of the death of Pepper Potts. Peter Parker, Pepper Potts. Say that 10 times fast. You name these characters, Stan. Peter Parker, Pepper Potts.
These are all my ideas.
So he is desperate to find out what happened. He can't deal with it. And meanwhile, Shuri in Wakanda has been grieving the loss of her brother, the king of Wakanda. And both of them have teamed up because they both worked with Vision. He created Vision. She was the one trying to extract the Mind Stone. And she realized that when she did an autopsy in Vision, that fragments of the Mind Stone's power have been imprinted on his circuitry. So the two of them have been using Vision's body to create a telescope that will allow them to try to understand better what happened and to scan the universe for any sign of their lost friends. Sure enough, they find a pulse deep in the middle of the universe on Titan. And they realize that all of the souls of the people that are gone have been trapped in the Soul Stone. And it's a pulse. It's a message coming. It's a Morse code message coming from Doctor Strange telling them that they're still there.
I guess he learned Morse code in medical school. That makes sense.
He's the master of time and space. He knows Morse code. So meanwhile, Thanos realizes when he sees this, because he feels this pulse as well, that the deed is not done. That as long as the Soul Stone hasn't been destroyed, all these souls are here and this could be undone. So he realizes he needs to sacrifice the Soul Stone to death to finish the deed. The goddess of death herself, who lives in a giant black hole at the center of the universe. So our movie is basically a chase movie. He's on his way to death. Meanwhile, the Avengers have to reassemble again to save everybody. Iron Man finally picks up the phone to call Captain America. Captain America's like, you're living in the past, Tony. We've got to fight for the people that are left. And Tony's like, the people that are left are still alive. This is a rescue mission, soldier. The fight's not done. They team up. They assemble the rest of the Avengers on Earth. They get Hulk and Scarlet Widow, Black Widow, who are going to, they're going to maybe rekindle their romance. We're going to have like a bit of will they, won't they going on with them. And they team up to steal a spaceship from the Skrull and blast off to go find Thor, because they realize they can use his hammer, which controls the Bifrost, to get to Thanos and stop him from destroying the Soul Stone. On their way, they are intercepted by a fleet of Kree warriors led by Captain Marvel. They're like, what are you doing in a Skrull spaceship, Earthlings? And they're like, we're trying to save the universe. We're trying to save our friends who are in the Soul Stone. They're like, we're going to help you out. So they team up with Captain Marvel. They find Thor. Thor is drunk on boozing it up on an alien planet with a Rocket Raccoon. They're like, yo, what the fuck happened to your hammer? We needed to go find Thor. He's like, I don't know, it walked off somewhere.
To find
Thanos, excuse me.
Yes.
He's like, I don't know, it walked off somewhere. And sure enough, we realize that what was left of Groot in the handle is regrown and is now, again, a moody teenager with the most powerful weapon in the universe. So they got to go find Groot, convince him to help them out. They go to fight Thanos, but they're too late and they get led into a trap or something or another. And anyway, it all ends with them. Thanos is casting the Soul Stone into this black hole that's going to be destroyed by death. And they realize the way to rescue everyone is they need to get a team inside the Soul Stone to blow it up from within to release everybody's souls. And so, and meanwhile, half of them are going to have to distract Thanos while this is going on so he doesn't realize what's up. They use Groot on either side of the Soul Stone, the handle and the version in the Soul Stone, to create a vine that will merge the two. And then Ant-Man, who's been hiding in Captain America's pocket the entire time, uses his shrinking technology to get half the team to shrink down and go into the Soul Stone, setting us up for a rousing finale. Thor and Hulk are beating the shit out of Thanos, and it's this epic three-way brawl. Meanwhile, our team on the inside is doing a daring cosmic heist in the quantum realm of the Soul Stone. And then the end of the movie is this big moment where the Soul Stone explodes and there's a rift in space and time. Like the souls aren't going to be able to get over to our world because Thanos causes space-time to fracture. And the only ones who can hold together the universe are our mighty heroes. They slam Thor's axe down into the ground. Hulk's holding onto the handle. Hulk's holding onto Thor. Thor's holding onto Scarlett Johansson, who's holding onto Chris Evans, who's holding on to Robert Downey Jr. And it's this epic bicep curl that saves the world as they merge the two galaxies, but then there's a giant release of energy that's going to destroy them in the process. And so everyone's souls wake up back in their bodies on Earth. We cut to Titan and all of the iconic weapons of our characters, the hammer, Iron Man's mask, Black Widow's Glock, They're all there. And everyone else gets, but then they get blown over by dust. And then back on Earth, Peter Parker, Black Panther, they're all back in their bodies, a little disoriented, and they're trying to remember what happened. And they're like, I feel like someone else was here. I feel like someone saved us, but who was it? And it seems like our audience is like, oh my God, everyone's going to forget the Avengers ever existed. And then an old man in New York, played by Stan Lee, one of his classic, in his send-off cameo, he's walking down the street, and he looks at the American flag. And he looks star on that flag. Man. And something sparks in his mind, and he goes, wait a second. And then you cut to someone else, and they're looking at a science textbook.
And they're at a shooting range.
And they see the Glock. They see a Black Widow. But you do, people all over the Earth start to remember. And so then your last scene is this last moment of it, the memory of the Avengers dawning on everybody, and that twinkling Avengers theme playing. And then we close. Then we pan up to the stars, and we fade to black.
I love it. Question.
Yes.
Can I be the one doing the bicep curls?
Sure,
just
Stan.
Me flexing. Have you seen these guns?
You got pretty big guns, Stan.
I know. I've been working on it.
We'll figure it out.
Will, how did it go? Oh, wait a second. I'm getting a call from the Russo brothers. They're going to go for it. However, you need to have a really good title.
Avengers Infinity Guys.
Hello?
Oh no!
Hello?
Oh no! Wait. Did we not get it, Matt? You know what that means. Jesse Thorne. He just Matt. Matt. I don't feel so good, Matt.
No!
I'm fading away.
Oh no!
Oh no!
I lost my lower half.
I mean, it's an improvement.
Oh no! 99% indivisible just became 44.5% indivisible. Oh no! The podcasts are being destroyed.
It's just my brother.
My brother and half my brother.
Well, thank you, everybody, for bearing with us through this week's, very, very nerdy, fan-driven, fan-fictiony, fanfiction.net/r/storybreak.
We forgot to mention that Goku shows up.
And then Goku shows up and hits him with a Kamehameha blast.
And they go to Ready Player One planet.
Guys,
everything's in there.
Real quick, could Goku beat Thanos?
Oh, my God. We're not going to do
this. I saw that thing where it was like someone was like, the difference between Goku and like everyone else is Goku would have given Thanos the Infinity Stones just to see how powerful he could get before he fought him.
So true. Thank you, everybody, for all of those of you who follow us at RJ Story Break on Twitter and who've hit us up with some, once again, just an astonishing amount of fan art, fan stuff. Will, what are some of the highlights from this week?
We had a really, really good week this week in fan art world. Ryan Brown gave us the clean and original musical CD box art with the whole track listing on the back. It's up on our Twitter. It is fantastic. Thank you to Ryan.
What's the best song on there?
The best song on there is definitely the last song is Fucking in a Clean House (parentheses) instrumental. And then followed by finale / He Died for Your Sins. Really captured good. The magic there. So thank you to Ryan Brown for that. Thank you to Benjamin Smarzinski for a really awesome Carmen Sandiego poster. Mad shouts out to cool friend at Albino Penguin for a Mad Max inspired Fury Road Mr. Clean poster featuring Shaq as Mr. Clean.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah, I can see that. Tall, a little too tall.
Mitchell Burton threw a fastball right to Matt's libido with a poster for 50 Stains Freed. A very sexy.
Oh my God. It's very good.
Mr. Clean. It's very sexy. It's the hottest Mr. Clean has ever looked. So thanks, Mitchell. Got another one from James Allner featuring John Cena as Dirty Mr. Clean to Channing Tatum's Mr. Clean. Thought that was a pretty fun one. And then we also got another ski free poster from Lawrence Biggers. So thank you, Lawrence.
Thank you, everybody. Again, follow us at RJ Story Break. Send all that good stuff to at RJ Story Break. If you want to submit your name to the list of names being used, of course, we are playing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so no names necessary this episode. But normally, we'll pull names from a list of our listeners. You can tweet those at RJ Story Break to get them potentially used by the story gods to sacrifice for an upcoming episode.
Thanks as well to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. And thanks to Cameron Covell for chopping up this episode and making us sound good.
And we got a special treat for y'all.
We have a very exciting
We're going to do our normal, very, very good send-off that everyone's definitely sticking around before. But after that, we're going to play a piece of music that Story Break fan Jackson Seib, I think it's Seib if it's Germanic. Jackson wrote the ending, scored the ending. Music,
an actual musical score
to... Why the Chicken Crossed the Road episode.
Still probably my favorite episode, and that ending, if you don't remember...
It's almost as good as the bicep curl that saves the universe in Infinity War Part 2 and Avengers Infinity,
It's an old man watching a chicken just go out into the ocean and not return, and then come back and realize that while he only has a few years left to live, he should live those years to his fullest.
Yeah, so if you haven't checked that...
Appreciate the absurdity and beauty of life.
Yes.
So if you haven't heard the episode, do check it out. But we're going to leave you now with Jackson's score. You can follow him at Jack R S E I B. Check out his Twitter. Check out his SoundCloud. So until next time, enjoy
your
music
now.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, I'm Carrie Poppy.
And I'm Ross Blotcher, hosts of MaximumFun.org's Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
We wanted to tell you the good news that our podcast is now weekly.
Yeah, weekly. On Oh No, Ross and Carrie, we don't make extraordinary claims. We investigate them.
We go undercover with fringe religious groups, investigate paranormal claims, and participate in pseudoscientific medical treatments and report our findings to you.
In a time where alternative facts reign supreme, we cut through the murky spin to give you the real deal on topics like UFOs, the ITZY vaccination movement, Scientology, and even apocalyptic churches.
We're even undercover for some very exciting investigations right now.
Well, not right now, right now.
Yeah, that would be unwise.
That's Oh No, Ross and Carrie at MaximumFun.org.
We show up so you don't have to.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.